Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
People have been saying there are too many mutual funds since the 80s. For all the talk of smart beta, they haven't pulled in huge assets. The active managers are showing up in the ETF space.
Laura, so the joke right now is investors have moved on from cryptocurrencies and have now taken a fancy to marijuana stocks, which is funny if you think about it, because many people believe Bitcoin is used only to purchase marijuana and other drugs. But in any event, let's start with the ETFMG Alternative Harvest ETF, ticker symbol MJ. This is really the only pure play on marijuana in the ETF space. It's been one of the top performing ETFs over the past month. It's up over 30%. And, you know, you and I actually discussed this topic back in May, and the conversation then was about the lack of performance. So what's changed here?
Yeah, it's been quite a summer for MJ and marijuana stocks in general, hasn't it? Part of that is because we've seen a lot of headlines lately about alcohol makers, you know, big beer sellers and liquor makers. They are throwing their hat into the cannabis ring. So, you know, for whatever reason, beer sales, liquor sales are down or flat. Consumers just aren't buying beer like they used to. So these companies, you know, they see the writing on the wall and they want to get out in front of the next hot new thing, which is marijuana. So, you know, you see alcohol makers like Constellation and Diageo and Molson Coors. They're all either snatching up equity in marijuana companies. In the case of Constellation, they bought a significant stake in Canopy Growth recently. Where these big alcohol makers are shopping around for companies to buy or partner up with, which is the case of Diageo, who's, you know, fishing around for companies to partner with on a new marijuana drink venture.
So. And is that really the key? So for the uninitiated, not that you're an expert, Laura, but is that the play for alcohol companies, that they're going to have these THC-infused beverages?
Yeah, absolutely. They are... they're exploring whatever's going to be the next hottest thing to replace. I don't think beer is ever going to be replaced in the consumer's consciousness, right? But, you know, marijuana is certainly becoming the next widely accepted recreational stimulant, or not stimulant, but you know what I mean. They want to get in front of this trend. They see the writing on the wall, as it is.
You know, one thing that I've noticed, I think somewhat interestingly, is tobacco companies have been a bit slow to get involved in marijuana. So we actually had Chris Monaco on the program back in February. His firm, Prime Indexes, manages the index behind MJ. But he actually had one of my favorite lines so far this year. He said, the entire tobacco industry is built on recreational smoking of leaves and paper tubes. So, of course, his point was, tobacco companies are really in prime position to capitalize once marijuana is more broadly legalized. Now, I do believe Alliance One bought stakes in a couple of Canadian companies earlier this year. But I guess my question is, overall, why haven't tobacco companies been more aggressive like we've seen with the alcohol companies?
That's a really good question. And I do think tobacco companies are in general interested in exploring the marijuana space, but at the same time, they're a little hamstrung. So they are interested in marijuana, but more interested in not pissing off the federal government. So, you know, there were a slew of lawsuits against tobacco in the 60s and 70s. After that, cigarette companies became incredibly regulated, very tightly regulated by the government. And these companies aren't really interested. They're not really eager to go toe-to-toe with the federal government anytime soon again. And lest we forget, marijuana is still federally illegal in the U.S. It's still Schedule I drug, you know, put up there on the same tier as heroin. So they could run afoul very quickly of federal regulators if they got too interested too soon.
Laura, this is Jason Lank. Some of the numbers that are being thrown around here boggle my mind. There's a piece on the website about the volume of sales of marijuana versus cigarettes, and they throw out the number that legal and illegal sales of marijuana are a little over $53 billion in the United States, whereas legal cigarettes, just over $90 billion. So they make the case that total U.S. marijuana sales are already half of U.S. cigarette sales. Is that possible?
I don't see why not. I mean, part of the issue here is that it's hard to track what exactly is being sold and when, because there's no it's still kind of an emerging space, and it is an illegal drug at the federal level. So there is a little bit of opacity into how much is being bought and sold. So, I don't see why it couldn't be that sort of, levels of buying and selling. Because, you know, the good thing about marijuana, it doesn't give you cancer like cigarettes do, and it doesn't have a lot of calories and, you know, make you drunk in the same way that alcohol does. So, there's a lot of, from a consumer standpoint, I can see why they would want to, there's some benefits to it compared to what's currently on the market. So,
Laura, I have to ask you, one of the holdings in MJ is Scott's Miracle-Gro, which I think always gets some chuckles. But they actually bought one of the top hydroponics distributors earlier this year, right? Hydroponics can be used to help cultivate marijuana crops. I'm just curious, do you have any sense as to how much Scott's is really hanging their hat on marijuana? How big of a piece of their business is this?
It is an exploratory part of their business, right? So they did buy Sunlight Supply, the hydroponics distributor you mentioned. They haven't really seen too much return on investment on that yet. Just this past earnings season, the CEO of Scott's Miracle-Gro had a lot of colorful things to say about their marijuana investments, about the company's marijuana investments. And I quote, "Dude, those bleeps in the marijuana unit, those bleeps are gun shy as bleep right now."
All right. So
not really seeing too much.
If we boil this down, I mean, what's the outlook moving forward? Obviously, there's a lot of buzz and excitement around pot stocks. I personally think it's tough to gauge valuations in this space right now. I think it's just too early, right? There's too much up in the air. So is this really a regulatory play? Is this just a bet on further legalization?
I do think these alcohol companies that are buying up the marijuana firms, they are treating legalization as kind of a foregone conclusion, which it isn't. I mean, in the long term, yeah, maybe. But in the short term, not so much. We've seen greater movement from the Trump administration to restarting the quote-unquote war on weed. Just this past weekend, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal about how marijuana research applications are just sitting, gathering dust in limbo at the Justice Department. And so, it's not a foregone conclusion that marijuana is going to be legalized at the federal level anytime soon. And I think to an extent there, and not to bring this to a political point, but I do think a lot of what happens next in marijuana, the industry as a whole, is going to hinge on the midterm elections, because a lot of the Democratic candidates have on their platforms explicit calls to legalize marijuana, which, of course, is going to be good for the marijuana industry, whereas a lot of the Republican candidates want to keep on with the president's agenda. So, where this control of Congress shifts at all, if at all, is going to be key to what happens next in the state, whether we are closer or farther from full legalization. And that's really the crux of it. Once you get full legalization, then, for example, the roadblocks holding the tobacco companies back, they fall away. So a lot of dominoes will start tipping very quickly, I think, if we get full legalization in the U.S.
Laura, we only have about 2 minutes left. Briefly circling back to MJ, you and I discussed this back in May, but the CTF now has $500 million invested in it. And I don't want to rehash how this ETF was converted from a prior ETF. I would encourage our listeners to go back and listen to the discussion we had in May. But the question I have is the custodian issue pretty much gone now? Because it just seems hard to imagine U.S. Bank pulling out at this point with $500 million in assets.
Mm-hmm. No, the custodian issue is still there as far as I can tell. Just nobody really wants to bring too much attention to it. If it weren't a factor, you would see a dozen competing ETFs to MJ that would have launched ages ago. But since nobody can get their custodian bank to custody marijuana stocks specifically for a marijuana ETF, you haven't really seen that happen. I think that people would love for the custodian issue to be resolved. But the SEC has also, this bears mentioning, the SEC recently issued a guidance in one of its Bitcoin ETF rejections of all things, stating, and I paraphrase here, none of you better try what ETFMG did, what with the switching of the index of an existing fund to track it, in that case, Bitcoin, because we will come after you. We let it slide this once, essentially. It was the unspoken thing, but we're not going to let it slide again. So I don't know. All right. It'll be interesting to see.
60 seconds left. What about the advisor shares Vice ETF, ACT? I'm just curious, any uptake there at all?
Not really. And I think part of that is because ACT is primarily, it's a more than 50% of the fund is an alcohol company. And we're not seeing alcohol companies get the same boost from these big merger deals that marijuana companies are. So, you know, the performance of that fund compared to MJ is pretty piddling. It's only up about 2.5%.
Well, Laura, as always, great chatting. I have a feeling that we're going to be chatting much more about this over the next year or so. This certainly is a topic that is not going away. Appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
That was ETF.com's Laura Krieger.